under.
No, over under wins, yeah. Man. Over under wins.
Yeah, plus 145.
No,
yeah.
Man, 9.5. There is no 145.
I just see a plus 140.
I don't know what that is. Is that points? I don't know what that. What's the plus 145?
Just giving it to you, to all you betting fans out there.
I don't understand this. Why we need Rafael? Good nine luck. And
good
a half wins.
By the way, good luck, Rafael.
Well, hopefully, good luck by now. He went under 9.7.
He's probably done by now.
A little heart procedure for Rafael, man. Hopefully everything goes well.
Absolutely.
That's it. I gotta shut up, man. It's top of the hour. We'll be back hour two next on ESPN New York.
Too tough for me. I put out a burning building with a shovel and dirt. And not even worry about getting hurt. Is that tough enough?
Always on the run and short on cash. With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
CBS Sports HQ. Over under 9.5 wins. Jordan, you're over. You have already established, set, and posted on the wall of truth over here in the studio.
11-6.
11-6 for your New Orleans Saints. Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber with you, buddy. Back in the Laurel Studios, we'll take your phone calls when you dial 800-998-1003. Coming up this hour, Mr. Nate Osborne. I have checked in with him, Jordan. He's on his way back from the beach. How about that?
Wow, you didn't even know.
No, I knew. I told you. He said he may be on the beach. He's going to join us for our weekly Thursday chat about the NOLA Gold coming off of a win. Jordan, you broadcasted Saturday there. Was that your first gold game?
That was my first gold game.
What did you think?
So I was flabbergasted.
I didn't hear from you until after the game, so apparently you enjoyed yourself.
It was a lot of fun. The NOLA Gold got the win 29-24 against the Utah. I forgot what their name was.
Something.
Just against Utah.
Fine.
Who cares?
They lost, exactly.
But no, there was like players getting injured on the ground, and they were continuing to play. And when they scored, I guess, a try, they had to kick a field goal, and one guy was like underneath the goal post, and I guess the kicker, is, if I'm saying that correctly.
I don't know. Yeah.
just continue to kick right over him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like a dead body on the field right here.
He wasn't dead, but he might have been maimed or injured. Yes. We can ask coach. So having seen it though.
Insane.
Right?
It was like hockey.
Okay.
Basketball.
Having watched that, the times that I've joked, now you know why Coach Osborne laughs hysterically. When we mentioned we'd like to have you go to training,
which is
what they call practice. And basically, I would toss you the ball. Go.
I was like, oh my.
That's a different level of toughness, man. Isn't it? There's mouthpieces. That's it. Some might tape their fingers and wrists, but that's it. Like, that is it.
There was one guy on Utah's team. He was a stocky little guy.
Yeah.
And he was just bulldozing. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
It was
a very fun experience.
But if you haven't, it was a good crowd there too.
You had fireworks after the game. So yeah. It was a bunch of fun. It brought me back to the times when I went to the Zephyrs games with my dad.
Nice.
And, me and him went to that, stayed for the entire game. And it kind of felt like old times seeing the fireworks and just being able to, you know, learn a different sport with him. So it was a great time. If you have not been out, there's a bunch of people at the stadium that know what's going on, and more than likely you can, you know, tap them on the shoulder and they'll explain everything throughout the game. We were lucky that we had a few people around us that knew the game and actually played the game, and they were telling us everything that went down whenever we had a question. So it was a bunch of fun.
Oh, no, you were that guy every 2 minutes, huh?
I wasn't. Maddie was the girl. Was that girl?
Okay.
I didn't want to be that guy because I know how annoying it is.
Right.
And but I did have a buddy that was there. Mm-hmm. One of my dad's buddies that was there, and he knew the game. So I was just like, all right, what's going on? To make myself look a little bit more normal.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you had a good time. He's going to be coming on next segment. Bottom of the hour, Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Always enjoy talking with him. Couple of the quarterbacks, because Jordan, you know, the Saints, they're not doing OTAs, and the rest of the league, essentially. So, it's funny, I almost swore like every other team was not, right? And yet I'm seeing video and everybody else is talking. I got sound that we're going to be playing for Ross as to some of these quarterbacks, who has pressure, different situation, things of that nature. We've touched on that. That's one of our questions of the day that where would you put the pressure on the new Saints quarterback? I guess maybe that's how I should have phrased it. How much pressure is on the new Saints quarterback, in relation to the rest of the new starters around the league? You know? Like, is there more pressure on the Saints starting quarterback than Tua in Miami?
How much pressure is on Dak Prescott to return from an injury?
Ooh, 40 mil, right? 40 mil?
40 mil.
Is it NFC Championship
Sam
game?
Sam Darnold, how much pressure is on him?
Yeah.
Getting a second chance at life, even though I think he's a great quarterback.
Okay, well, it's either
the Jets
or, though, right?
Absolutely suck.
Less or more. Sam Darnold versus Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold over the Saints starter, really. See, I disagree with you on
that. More, he's more on the chopping block.
The reason why I say that is, do you have 11 wins for the Carolina Panthers? There's a higher expectation level, I think, in New Orleans for the team to still win, right?
Yeah.
I think that has something to do with it. For example, at the same time, Matthew Stafford. I mean, the Rams made the trade for that. I think there's pressure on him, don't you?
Well, at the same time, if you look at Carolina's track record, I mean, there looks like they're just going through quarterbacks left and right. So he has a year or two to, you know, actually figure things out over in Carolina. So that's one of my
either
main
or Jameis Winston or Hill, Matthew Stafford in L.A.
I think it's Winston and Hill.
Really? Over Stafford? I mean, they made a move that is based. I mean, they've done what they've
done.
Are
we talking about, like,
who has the most pressure?
The team as a whole?
No, I said.
Or just the quarterback?
The quarterback, man. That's the question.
Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston.
But you think Sam Darnold has more pressure than Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill?
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't make sense, but I'll take it.
How does that not make sense?
Because what you're telling me is they have the same level of pressure as Matthew Stafford in L.A.? Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold has more pressure.
More pressure than you? Do you know what the Rams gave up for Matthew Stafford? I mean, do know that's a big move, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just...
And usually when it's a big move, you have a lot of...
Okay, look, I may or may not like it, so I'm asking you the question. You should just move on, right? So, okay, next. Lamar Jackson or Winston Hill?
100% Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Okay, there we go. That's.
I mean, he's probably at the very top of the entire NFL with most pressure.
I brought this up, and why would you say that? That's interesting.
Because he was the MVP and of the
two seasons ago,
right. And he really has not shown that he can perform at that level again, and he just can't get it done in the playoffs.
Whoa. Creating that
I think he has the potential to be a great quarterback in the league.
Okay.
But
is he just, $40 million? Because that's the going rate.
No.
You're not giving, because this is a topic, and he was asked about this yesterday. And I brought up in hour one how he is used.
And that's also that also goes into consideration.
In that. I mean,
it might not be his fault. Yeah. He's just following what the team
is
telling
him to
do. That is
the offense, absolutely. I mean, that's the offense. And here's a bigger question that I'll ask Ross at 1:30. If I am going to pay him $40 million, do I change some of that offense? Because, again, the topic this morning on the morning shows on ESPN was Julio likely is, you know, Diana Rossini reports that a source told her there is a first-round pick on the table. Somebody has offered a first-round pick for Julio Jones. There is a team that has offered a first-round pick for Julio Jones.
If I'm the Falcons, I'm taking it.
Okay.
Because you weren't getting that before.
So the panel this morning was saying, that better be the Baltimore Ravens. I agree. Like, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson can throw a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for, and can maybe. The thing is, you haven't asked him to really do it. He's a 100-yard a game rusher. That's absurd if I'm going to pay $40 million. Is it? That's a lot of money for a player. And I understand in football, any play, any drop back, any moment, you can get injured. I understand that. After all, I'm being told by every NFL player that used to play on ESPN, that's why players are veterans are opting out of OTAs. So you don't get hurt. Apparently you get hurt at the facility. You can't get hurt training at a facility other than your team's facility. Makes sense to me? Not at all. Anyway. That is an interesting thing to me, though. What do you do? Like, let's say, Saints fans, it's Taysom Hill. By no means am I comparing Taysom and Lamar Jackson. I'm just saying, let's say Taysom Hill starts.
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm trying to see how you would feel from a fan perspective if it was your local team. And it's Taysom Hill, essentially, right? I mean, he runs more than passes. Now, let's say he does great. He wins the MVP. Does that. Stop with the fumbling.
He had one bad year of fumbles. I couldn't miss it.
He had one bad year of fumbles. And sure, it cost the Saints games. Anyway, so would you be comfortable? That's a lot of money. Remember, Saints fans freaked out when Drew got 20. 25. 27. This is 40 going rate. 40. You want to talk about tying up your salary? I mean, 40. Look, if I'm Lamar Jackson, with how you use me, especially Jordan, to your point, with getting injured in the postseason and having people like you.
Like me.
Yes, like you, already starting to label me as a playoff bust. You know what I'm doing? I'm waiting. You want me to play week one? I need a new contract.
Oh, he's holding out now?
I absolutely would. I would advise him to hold out.
We got an Aaron Rodgers 2.0.
No, completely different.
How?
Completely different.
Aaron Rodgers is not playing week one. I could guarantee you that right now.
Okay.
That's another topic that we can
get
into.
But how is that completely different? I mean, in Lamar's case,
no, you just
legitimately
said
it's about his health.
I just said we have
because Harbaugh is going to ask him to run 15 to 20 times a game.
I
don't have a deal in place, sir.
I never said that it was completely
Aaron
different.
Has his deal. He just wants a longer deal so he feels like you love him. Aaron's also almost 40. Lamar's not. Aaron's also gotten a lot more money. Lamar hasn't. I want to say he's under still his rookie deal, bro. I'm Lamar Jackson. I'm like, well, I guess we're changing this offense. Because, either or not, you're going to see a lot of sliding, a lot of two-yard gains. Second I see somebody hit, I'm sliding. I'm just saying, the way he plays in that style, there is no way I'm stepping on the field this year until they sign me. And at the same time, I'm Baltimore, dude, I have to think about it. He's your best player, so you're stuck there. He's your best player. He's done everything right for you. He's done all those things. It's exciting. But his style, the way you use him, it opens it up to a shorter career, man. It just honestly does. At that price. At that price. It's the price. It's the issue here. Here's Lamar yesterday.
I'm really focused on the season. You know, I'm focusing on trying to win. I'm not really worried about if it get done this year or next year. You know, I'm just trying to build a stack, and we're going to see. We don't know yet. I would love to be here forever. You know, I love Baltimore. I love the whole organization. I love everybody in the building. But hopefully we'll be making something happen pretty soon or whenever.
Yeah, so there you go. Wait a minute. That whole thing was with two outs?
Two outs. All the first baseman had to do was touch the bag. Wait, I've been watching this since we started the Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up at 2:05 because Tim Grubbs is a Pirates fan. Cubs are taking on the Pirates. Javier Baez hits a grounder to third. He throws to first. He pulls the first baseman off the bag towards home.
He's running.
Baez stops running.
Correct.
So the first baseman chases him. Before he gets to home, the guy on third still running. He gets in. He's safe. So then the first baseman moves out the way. The catcher's trying to throw it to the second baseman. Baez slides. He's safe. Ball goes in the outfield. He goes to second. Two-run score.
All you had to do was touch the base. The first baseman didn't have to chase him. It wasn't a tag.
That's a good job by the first baseman.
He's forced to go to first.
That's a good job by the first baseman. Wow, that is incredible.
Oh, that's the Pirate season in a nutshell.
All right, let's see if Nate Osborne will take our phone call. Head coach of Enola Gold is next on ESPN New Orleans.
What do people all around me feeling hot, hot, hot?
Shrimp boats is a-coming.
Since 1948, that's 73 years, Elaria Brothers has been in the commercial shrimping and fishing supply business. They carry a large selection of stainless steel shafts up to 2.5 inches, but they can also order larger if you like. They also stock 2, 3, and 4 blade propellers up to 40 inches, a large selection of shaft couplings, single V-struts, and stainless steel rudders. Now listen to this, Elaria Brothers is now stocking rudder blades and rudder shafts so you can make your own rudder. Now carrying stainless steel plate pieces so you can make your own V-struts. A huge selection of stainless steel stern tubes, rudder and shaft shoes, fiberglass tubes, rudder ports, packing boxes, and dripless shaft seals. Stocking tiller arms and rubber cutlass bearings along with a big line of motor mounts. Call Elaria Brothers to get your TEDs today. Visit Elaria Brothers before the season. That's Elaria Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego. Visit their website at ElariaBros.com.
Shrimp boats is a-coming.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on. For business.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
I got to watch that and I sent that to Graph. I would love to hear the Graph call that for Pirates Radio that play.
I would pay.
He would lose
I
his
would pay
mind.
So much money.
Maybe we bring him on to talk about that at some point. Tim Grubbs, top of the hour, will touch on that. How is he feeling? He's a Pirates fan.
I disband my loyalty.
Each and every Thursday, we love to speak with the head coach of your New Orleans Gold. His name is Mr. Nate Osborne. He's your friend and mine. Coach, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you,
a night victory
Thank
for your
you.
Gold, sir.
It was great.
actually play some good rugby. It was a huge crowd. It was an amazing night at the Goldmine. Probably our best, I'd say. Our best game and our best victory, because we had a lot of injuries, a lot of things happening throughout the game that we had to make some quick changes, and the boys aimed up and were physical like I asked them to be, and they got the win, which is massive for us going into the bye.
Well, Coach, I'm sure you guys trained hard. Your message to the team there, play was the reason for the victory. Jordan claiming, however, that the victory happened because he was there, did a show, was in the stands. How much credit do you give Jordan the intern?
Jordan gets at least about half a percent of that victory. And
okay. Hey, it's a half.
Although we were mates, we're not teammates. Gus is the teammate. You're my mate. Zach, remember that?
Actually, spot on, actually. Gus is the teammate. You're the mate. I remember that now.
I mean, it is still a half a percent, you know? So that's pretty
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Coach, Jordan did mention the amount of injuries there. He was flabbergasted, amazed, and in awe that play not only continued to go. You said what, the kicker tries?
Yeah, after the try, I don't know if I'm saying it right. The kicker kicked it through the uprights, and he basically kicked it over a guy that was down being, you know, helped by, you know, a medical trainer. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I thought play had to stop if there was a person down on the field.
And the guy that was down was actually our kicker. So we had to get a guy who's never kicked before step up and knock it through the post, and we all had our eyes closed going. Even one of the assistant coaches goes, can he even kick? And I go, oh, I think he can kick straight, I think. And he ended up knocking three over. So, big night for the goal to move around and just get jobs done that they weren't used to doing. You know, like, the guy that's down is our fly half, Timmy Gilman. So he came off at halftime because he was too injured. We had to throw a kid, Kyle Rogers, into, you know, be the quarterback of the team. He's never done it. And, it was a two-minute conversation in the locker room to catch him up on what I wanted him to do, and he ended up being man of the match and, you know, scoring the winning try. So, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that were happening, but I think that crowd and that energy and that will and that want to win after what we put out against San Diego was evident on the weekend, and, you know, super proud of that victory. Massive for us.
Speak with head coach Nate Osborne of the NOLA Gold. That's incredible when you think about it, too. You and I chatted briefly on Sunday, and you mentioned that basically would be their quarterback, using a football analogy that you had to do. Two-minute conversation. So I guess what you're telling me is this kid was ready to play, though, right? I mean, he kind of, to be in that position to do that, it speaks volumes about being ready to play when called upon.
Absolutely. And I think, you get some reps at training and things like that, but there's nothing like that live fire, especially at the professional level. And, you know, at certain times in the game and at certain times in the season, you know, you just ask guys to be rugby players. We sign them to be because they're great rugby players. We don't really sign them based on that you are the best at this position. We say, you're a rugby player, just jump out there and play rugby, you know, and that's what, we did, and we did really well on the weekend.
So, into the bye this weekend, Coach, and, you know, we spoke last week and you said, hey, look, you don't know if you're going to take it as relaxed as possible. You kind of want to get ready for the second half of that season in Atlanta coming in next weekend. But with all the injuries you had, did you have to think a little differently about it?
I did, mate, And it's one of those things where, you know, I look at a game like that where we pour everything into it and you can see how excited the boys are, but, you know, how drained we are. Like, you know, it's a long season. We've got a lot of injuries. You know, it's one of those things where you ask people to do things that they're not used to doing, and that can take a mental toll on you. So this week we've taken the week off, really, and I told the guys just to, you know, just go rest up and mentally get ready for the next stretch of games, because, you know, you don't ever want it to be a drag. You don't ever want to wake up and go, oh, no, I've got training today or anything like that. You want to be excited about it. You know, you got the best job in the world. You're a professional rugby player. You know, in my opinion, it's the best job in the world. So you don't ever want it to be a drag. So this week's all about mental recovery and, you know, getting away and just not even thinking about rugby, you know, and just really coming back next week with a fresh mind and, you know, freshened up bodies and getting ready to bash Atlanta, because we own one.
Yeah, about that, Coach. I'll bring it up next week. I won't bring it up this week since you let us down, you know, in Atlanta that one time, but we will talk about it next week. That said, Coach, when you look at where this buy is, just your assessment of your team. I would say what consistency is something that you wanted to have a lot better of, playing to your capabilities. What, how would you kind of characterize up into the bye week your team?
Mate, honestly, I think we're getting a lot better. I think we won those two in a row after I was asking for some consistency, and then we dropped that one in San Diego, where we didn't play very well. And then this week, we aimed up again. So, you know, hopefully we're taking this bye, and we talked about taking this bye, you know, as that mental recovery, and then coming back and finding that consistency, because, you know, we can rattle off a few wins in a row again. We put ourselves right on top of that table with everyone looking up at us rather than in the dogfight, you know, in the middle of it.
Coach, as always, man, appreciate the time. Oh, but wait, before I let you go, you did go to the beach though, right? You enjoyed yourself a little?
Yeah, mate, I did. I decided I'm going to combine all my loves outside of rugby, my family, obviously, gambling, and the beach. So we came on a family vacation to a casino down in Bay St. Louis. It's been an amazing trip, actually. Nice.
No, I'm telling you, I'm all about the beach, sir. I'm all about the beach.
Yeah, we've had a great time. We're actually heading back now. So, you know, got the four girls in the car, and, you know, it's time to play some music and sing and dance. And we've got this amazing array of music, from Christian music that we rock out to The Weeknd to all these different songs. I try and slip in some 80s once in a while that they don't like. But
yes. Favorite 80s song right now, if you had to play it. If you got off the phone with me right now and the family goes, fine, Dad, go ahead. Play one 80s song. What is it?
It's probably Land Down Under, because why wouldn't it be?
There it is. Land Down Under, yes. Exactly. No, it's so funny. That's I kind of have that on cue, really, for a lot of different reasons. Because there is basically what? There's a Pelicans player that went down under, Didi Lazada, and came back and all of a sudden knew how to play basketball.
The Aussies, they can teach you everything down there. Basketball, easy. It's an easy sport.
Well, there you go. Here you go, Coach. Just for you. There he goes. He spent way too much time with us already during the bye week. He's in the car with his family, but he graciously still joined us on Thursday. Head Coach Nate Osborne, enjoy the rest of the bye week, sir.
Thank you, Coach.
Bye. Talk to you next week. Say, Jordan.
Oh, wow. He said bye to you last. Exactly. Look at that, huh?
He actually made fun of me because I said something. He was saying something about Quidditch last week. And then I said, my high school team actually had a Quidditch team.
Here we go. Ready? He comes from a land down under. Bum, 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 bum. We have an update on Julio Jones things, by the way, too. Monday morning quarterbacks just posted something. Are you excited? Shoot first.
I don't
baby.
Care. I'm just rocking out.
Are you? Let me ask you, though. Is mates better than a teammate? Really? I think teammates, right? I mean,
no
teammates. Nope. See, there's a, mate. Bond and a family atmosphere, though.
He defined
though.
It as mate. Is someone that you say, all right, mate, let's go
but
and
mate
let's go get a beer after.
In the word teammates.
He said, let's go get a beer after the game. Teammate is just like,
but you go to battle with teammates,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but you're just my teammate afterwards. See you.
If you got to depend on the
but
teammate,
if,
too.
If you're my mate, if you're a teammate and a mate, I mean, that's the strongest bond you could have. You're just a teammate.
I think we should go through the show down under. We'll come back better. What do you think?
Oh.
Are you ready to...
I want a baby kangaroo.
You're not bringing a baby kangaroo. I don't think customs would allow that. I would like to see you box an adult kangaroo, though.
I'm getting a baby kangaroo.
You're not getting a baby kangaroo.
Come here, Hopper.
You've named him already, huh?
Just like Pepper the Penguin.
Things really wrong. You've thought about this long and hard, haven't you? I was just trying to improve the show because clearly you go down under you become a better basketball player.
Having a kangaroo hop around, having Hopper the kangaroo
here in studio, I'm sure it'll work just fantastic with my
a diaper on,
$1,700 MacBook.
Yeah,
you know, it's expensive equipment all around.
You know,
us.
The mood would be like energetic in here.
Yep.
Come incredible. Here, Hopper.
Hopper,
look at Hopper. Got him. We could teach him how to shoot like little paper like balls into a basket. Make
now,
him look like
now
he's,
we're
like,
training him, huh?
Oh, he's yes.
Well, he might shoot better threes than some Pelican players.
Put some boxing gloves. Put some like little tiny boxing gloves on him.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. A kangaroo cannot shoot the three better than some Pelicans players. That is that was a little low.
That was.
They might jump higher though than some others.
I mean,
I mean, they're all known for jumping.
Kangaroos, yeah. That's why I named them Hopper. I think
I need to end this segment
we need a penguin in studio, and we need a...
You need a penguin
and
in
a
studio.
Kangaroo.
A penguin?
Yes.
Where did the penguin come from?
Remember Zion the Penguin from the aquarium?
Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. Julio Jones expects to be traded as early as next week.
Ooh.
That would be June 1st on Tuesday. The I'm Outta Here tour, ready to go. Who do you think has offered a first-round pick? That sounds like a team desperate at receiver help, huh? Let's go to break. Bring
the New
in
Orleans
Ross.
Saints?
Stop it. Let's go to break. Ross
Who
Jackson.
Who do the Saints have at wide receiver besides Michael Thomas?
You know what? Uh-oh. I'll let you ask Ross Jackson
now.
You want to do that? Right
Uh-oh.
Off the bat, you get to ask the first question.
We're not even introducing Ross.
Well, no, I'm introducing Ross Jackson.
Ross.
Come back. No, stop
Julio.
It.
Saints.
I'm going to turn your mic
Give
now.
It to me.
It's the Sports Hangover. You're listening to the home of Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
The I'm Outta Here tour could be starting as early as next week. Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, joins us at Ross Jackson Nolas, the way to follow him on Twitter. Sir, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hey, Gus, how's it going, buddy? Good to hear you. Prayer from you, man. Glad to be here with you.
As always, appreciate the time. Today, Jordan will have the honor of asking the first question. It's because I think it's as silly as possible, and I don't want to be attached to this.
I think it's
the
most serious.
Go ahead, Jordan. The first question of the day to Mr. Ross Johnson.
So I'm sure a lot of Saints fans are out there wondering, Julio, can we see him in the black and gold next season?
Come on.
Look.
It's the most serious question I've ever had.
I think that, you know, you've seen some, there have been some, you know, former NFL executives who have played this up a little bit and have said, you know, don't count the Saints out just because they're in the division. If they can make the most compelling offer, then, you know, then they should still be taken seriously. And I think you have to look at it and understand it. Like, you know, this whole trading within the division thing is not, it's not for lack of being mentioned. I mean, you know, you can look back at maybe 2010 when Donovan McNabb was traded from Philly to Washington, and that's really the last interdivision star trade that was made. I don't see it happening for the New Orleans Saints making a trade for Julio Jones, but especially if the Falcons are most interested in moving him outside of the conference, which would not be out of the ordinary, the Saints can still very much win this trade, quote-unquote, even if it doesn't end with him ending up on the New Orleans Saints roster, which, again, I think would be a bit of a far cry chance.
The report from Diana Rossini this morning is one team has a first-round pick offer on the table. I'm trying to – that's – I wouldn't say desperate, but that shows we're serious about this. I'm thinking Ravens.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking, right? Because that's where I want to go next, Ross. Lamar Jackson yesterday, he was asked about his contract, and he said, I'm focusing on 2021. Again, here's what he had to say.
I'm really focused on the season. You know, I'm focusing on trying to win. I'm not really worried about if it get done this year or next year. You know, I'm just trying to build a stack, and we're going to see. We don't know yet. I would love to be here forever. You know, I love Baltimore. I love the whole organization. I love everybody in the building. But hopefully we'll be making something happen pretty soon or whenever.
Ross, the way he's used, the way he got hurt in the playoffs, I'm him. I'm his agent. I'm not stepping on the field until I get a new deal.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Look, I think that there's some genuine tone to what Lamar Jackson is saying there. He loves the people of Baltimore. He loves the team, everything. I think all of that is true. But I think from the business standpoint of this, which can't really center all around how you feel about the team, just from the simple fact, especially understanding his play style as being a runner, somebody that takes hits, I would be shocked if he hits the field before he has a new deal. And I think there's a reason why he's starting to make these comments about, hey, I want to be here. I would be happy to be here forever, because then if the deal doesn't happen in time, or if the deal doesn't look like it's happening, it's not on him, because Lamar Jackson told everybody he wants to be here. It then becomes an organizational fault if the deal doesn't get done in time.
He rushed for 1,005 yards last year.
Right.
I mean, that's not, you know, keeping the play alive or moving around in the pocket. He rushed for 159 times. He had 7 touchdowns and rushed for 1,000 yards. That is a fantastic season by an NFL running back standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And, I mean, you look at all of that, and then you also consider the hits that he took during that time, the injuries that have, you know, pushed him out of games every now and then and things like that, nothing extensive or anything. But definitely, I mean, if he's going to continue to play the style of game that he's playing. Now, we have seen the Baltimore Ravens invest in the wide receiver position, right, going out and drafting Rashad Bateman and bringing in some more receiving options. But even still, this is going to be a team that's going to utilize Lamar Jackson's talent as a runner. And Lamar Jackson is going to want to utilize his talent as a runner. It's what makes him great. So in order for him to feel protected in doing that, he's going to need that new deal. And if I'm him, if I'm his agent, yeah, I'm not having him step on the field until that happens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. At Ross Jackson knows where to follow on Twitter. Okay, pressure seems to be something that was brought up yesterday with some quarterbacks talking and such. Here's Carson Wentz, new Colts quarterback.
This is the game we play. This is the position that I've chosen, you know, and there's always pressure. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be expectations. It's been the same thing my whole career. It's just go to work. Just go to work, get better every day, and block out the outside noise, good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. I felt a lot of excitement around here and a lot of, you know, obviously we have high expectations and all of those things, but just the culture and how, you know, it's just a one day at a time mindset. That's the mindset of this team, and that's the mindset that I'm going to take every single day I come to work.
Ross, I played the game with Jordan here. Who has the most pressure, either or? And we went through a couple of, you know, new starters or even young quarterbacks in comparison to what I'm saying is Hill Winston, right? I might think it's one or the other, but I'm just going to say, so the new Saints starter or Sam Darnold, who would you say?
Ooh, probably the new Saints starter. I mean, this is a team that's built up expectations to be competitive this season and be competitive post Drew Brees. And I think that the post Drew Brees portion of that adds to the expectation and adds to the pressure as well. You're following up a Hall of Famer, whereas over in Carolina, you're following up, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, who had a bit of a disappointing season there. And then before that, you know, Cam Newton, but there's enough time there. So I think that Carolina is understandably still in a bit of a rebuild spot. So I would say probably the new Saints starter has more pressure.
Sam Bradford, the new Saints starter.
I would stick with
Bradford. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of, I don't know why I just said that. Yeah, Matthew Stafford.
I don't think Sam Bradford's got much pressure at all.
I don't know where that came from. Jesus.
He's fun. So I would probably stick with the Saints starter in that one. I think Matt Stafford's in a unique position He's somebody that the expectation is going to be there because he's legitimately a better quarterback than the quarterback that he's replacing. But he also has a number one defense on the other side to help him out, and expectations coming from a young coach. So I think that that kind of helps to alleviate it. I would still go with the new Saints starter in that situation.
Okay, maybe this one you won't go with him. Tua, hear what he had to say yesterday.
You know, getting to the line of scrimmage, kind of getting that order of operation down, my cadence, and then pre-snap reads, you know, and then my post-snap reads, just the whole shebang with that.
Yeah, not good, huh, Ross?
I felt, you know, I wasn't comfortable with rookie year. Uh-huh. You know, so just working on a lot of those things in year two to, you know, be better.
New Saints starter at Tua, who has more pressure on him, especially since already people are saying Aaron Rodgers needs to go there.
Right. Yeah. No, I do think I would go with Tua there. I mean, you look at all of the, it's hard not to, right? I mean, you look at the expectations that come with him coming out of the Alabama program as it was. And then you also have, you know, all of the offseason talk about teams wanting, you know, about, you know, Miami should trade Tua for Deshaun Watson, and now they should trade Tua for Aaron Rodgers. If they roll with Tua and move forward here in Miami, then that's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And then to hear him kind of run down the list of basically playing quarterback being the things that he's struggling with, you know, certainly that gives you a little bit of pause too at that quarterback position. But I do have high expectations and high hopes for Tua, so I would put him in that category.
That's interesting when you look at it from a lot of different perspectives, especially maybe, and again, I'm sticking with the younger guys. Jordan's all excited. Who was the top 25, under 25?
Yeah, top 25, under 25. Joe Burrow was at 8. Uh-huh. Justin Herbert at 2.
At 2?
And Lamar Jackson actually surprised me at 1.
I know he did well, but, I mean, would you say he's above – who was 3? I forgot. You just pulled it up, and it was somebody that's like, oh, Murray, Kyler Murray. I'm like, he's played in a little longer. I don't know. Would you say he's the second best of the under 25?
Yeah, no, I don't think I would go there just yet. I mean, I would give him, and again, like, this all comes down to, you know, this is the situation to where he's ranking highly based on expectation as opposed to facing as much pressure based on expectation. And so it's a little bit of a different perspective for sure, but I think I would put Kyler Murray above him right now as a proven entity while, you know, Justin Herbert comes in and he came in for, you know, that rookie portion, you know, his rookie season once. Mm-hmm. You know, they stabbed Sherrod Taylor in the lung, and then they didn't have any other choice but to put him out on the field there. But, you know, I think that he performed extremely well, don't get me wrong, and he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. But I've made the argument that Justin Jefferson actually deserved Offensive Rookie of the Year over him on that season as somebody that created moments and showed up at big moments, which was something that Justin Herbert struggled to do.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we've touched already Stephon Diggs, his, you know, presence, what he brought to Buffalo as well. You mentioned Jefferson over there, and maybe we'll see what Jamar Chase can do with Burrow. I don't think not enough people are talking about him, too, because I get it now. There's a line issue and all of that. But they did, as we had a caller on Tuesday mention, they spent a lot of draft capital on young offensive linemen as well. So let's see if that sort of builds. How much pressure on – he's still young, but had such a great season. Buffalo, about that young QB over there.
Mitch Trubisky?
No, not Mitch Trubisky. No. Mitch Trubisky will be bringing Buffalo wings to the rest of the starters in the locker room.
No, he's a team player.
He is.
He's a team player. That's right. He's a team guy. Company guy, Mitch Trubisky.
Look, Josh Allen took that step, right? So, you know, to follow that up, is that a quarterback do you think as well has moved himself up to elite status? You got to see it again.
I think he's close. I mean, I think he has more to do for certain, but we can't deny the fact that he has gotten better and better every season. You know, and he was somebody that had a ton of question marks coming in to the NFL because a lot of people only looked at him as a big arm with some mobility, but now you're seeing him as somebody that is progressing through his reads, that's making smart choices, that's got good ball placement, that has good ball placement downfield as well as, you know, in the short and intermediate areas. So he's somebody that's really developed his game, and I think having a guy like Stephon Diggs really helped him step up to that next level. I'm excited to see the second year of the two of them together and see what type of a step forward Josh Allen can take. Because remember, it's not just what he does with his arm. He makes some really, really great plays with his legs as well.
All right, so we started off with a possible June 1st move in Julio Jones. The biggest of them all would likely be, of course, Aaron Rodgers. He finally spoke Kenny Mayne's final day over there. At ESPN, and man, he let you know essentially what was this all about, just to refresh the memories.
It's never been about the draft picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid, a lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, I love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way.
So the only person that name was the GM, we all get it. It's him or the GM. What side are you on, Ross? What's the right side here? Does his age make a difference here? I think it does, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're going to have the folks that side on the side of the people. You're going to have the folks that side on the side of the organization, right? For me personally, I'm very much on the side of the player with this. I think you also are seeing it start again with Jordan Love as well. Like, if you really pay attention to the way that the coaching staff and the front office even talks about Jordan Love, They're not really treating him like somebody that they believe could step in into the role or in place of Aaron Rodgers. They're talking about him as if he is somebody that's not ready yet, right? And so they've sort of, you know, when you hear Aaron Rodgers talk about remembering the people that are involved in this, you have to remember that Jordan Love is the person, the human being, that you have to remember that you're going to fall back on if something happens with Aaron Rodgers here, and they can't even do that, even though they need Jordan Love to be bought in, and they're not showing him any confidence. So you're seeing exactly what Aaron Rodgers is talking about, not only towards Aaron Rodgers, but to other players on the team, very vital, very important entities on the team as well. So I kind of have to side with Aaron Rodgers here, not only for that, but also just the long laundry list of issues that have come from that front office in terms of their inability to be able to put talent around him while he was, you know, is at the peak of his career.
That's an excellent point, because that's what's been astounding to me. Jordan and I have talked about it on the show. I've talked about it with other people, too.
It's always bagging.
You constantly talk about, like, Jordan Love literally couldn't take a snap.
Like, he's 10 years away from even being considered
a starting
quarterback.
Well, that's what I said when LaFleur spoke this week and goes, he's a long way
and then
away.
The owner,
and why did you move up to go get him?
Weeks ago said that he's still a very long way
away.
He's
nowhere near ready. Yeah. Exactly. So, and again, and I looked at it, Ross, as them trying to kind of massage Aaron Rodgers to say, look, he's not after your job just yet. We're just long term. But to your point, I'm Jordan Love. I'm like, get me out of here. I'm like, guys,
for real.
And if you can't handle Aaron Rodgers, how are you going to handle me?
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, too, is that the other part of it is that if Aaron Rodgers is looking at this from the personal perspective of the way that people are treated within the organization, he's seeing the way that people are talking about Jordan Love as well. So it's not buttering him up. It's not making him feel any more comfortable. It's just making him wonder, okay, so then when is the next time that you're going to turn front or turn face on me whenever you're ready, right? So I think you look at it from that perspective. And even the other players around, I mean, Davante Adams talking about, if Aaron Rodgers left, I'd kind of have to think about what I'm going to do here next. He's on an expiring contract. Yeah. They could walk into 2022 here a shell of themselves if they keep up what they're doing.
Well, we'll see, man. If we talk next week, will he be on the Packers or not? Well, we'll see. He's in Hawaii enjoying himself right now. So,
he's having a good time.
Ross, as always, man, I appreciate the time. He's covered a lot of ground here today, man. I appreciate it. Ross Jackson Nola, thank you so much, man.
Always. Such a pleasure. Y'all take care. Stay safe.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Ross.
I could talk to him for 3 hours.
No, he's really awesome. Honestly. I mean, he brought up things that we were talking about.
You're just happy because I gave you the first question.
I guess you're right.
All right, Saints fans, next segment. Do you want Julio or not? I'm just going to say no.
Julio.
$3,200 million. No. Next.
Just play it.
ESPN New Orleans. There's no doubt you're in deep. Your throat is tight.
You can't breathe. Another kiss. It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic. Cash magic. Come and feel the magic. Cash magic. Where winners play every night and day. Cash magic.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker, Cash Magic. You'll always be a VIP. Cash Magic.
cash magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
It's Mike DeTillia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
When did they start frosted Pop-Tarts, by the way?
Huh?
Your intro.
Oh, I honestly don't know. I would probably say the 80s. I would say the 80s. You gonna look that up?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I would say the '80s would be my wait, hold on, let's see.
8-ball, what do you say?
The magic 8-ball? What is it? We figured it out?
No. That's not the magic 8-ball. That's when it a question.
Oh.
That's when we asked the magic.
Okay.
1967.
Okay. 1967. Pop tarts have been around that? Really? Frosted ones though?
Yeah. Originally not frosted. When first introduced in 1964, the Frosted Pop-Tarts were officially released in 1967.
Oh, wow. 3 years later. Okay. All right. All right, go ahead.
Oh, Magic 8-Ball, what do you say?
Let's see.
Do the Saints get Julio Jones? Just for that one Saints fan at once.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
Oh, I got to put a question mark.
Oh, come on.
Let's go. It's very picky.
Let's go.
See what it says. Come on, man.
And how long does this take, dude?
Better not tell you now.
Oh, we're going to go with the intrigue here, huh?
It says better not tell you
better
now.
Better not tell you now? That's an answer? What does that even mean?
It's the magic 8-ball. It means whatever it wants it to mean.
Where do you think he goes? I would think, what team would give a first, would you give a first round pick for him?
No.
By the way, the Falcons have missed the playoffs the last 3 years with them.
Chicago?
Chicago? First round pick, though? When I hear first round pick on the table from Diana Rossini, I'm thinking, here's Diana, by the way.
I've been told that the Titans have had conversations with Atlanta. Atlanta has taken calls from a lot of different teams. But in terms of realistically happening, a source shared with me, it most likely will not happen with the Tennessee Titans. It always could. But at this point right now, the Tennessee Titans, I would not consider to be a lead contender in landing Julio Jones after that June 1 date.
So I would say Ravens pop in my head, right? That would pop in my head. I thought Titans for sure because, you know, you pair him with Derrick Henry. I don't know. Lee, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Hey, Gus. I think y'all looking at this all wrong, man.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
The question should be, does Mickey Loomis even pick up the phone and make a call? That should be the question. Because when it comes to fit, I don't think he even fits what the thing do. That I'm just keeping it real, man.
Right.
I don't think he will be a good locker room fit. I don't I know it's a rivalry, and I know people say stuff in the heat of passion and the heat of combat, but he has said some things in the past about playing the Saints that I just can't get past. That's number one. Number two, I don't see how he makes us better. I'm just being honest, Jeff. Michael Thomas is our clear number one receiver, period. Mm-hmm. After that, you could sprinkle guys in around him, and we'll be fine. We don't need a number one and a number two. we have a couple of guys on this team, I think, that can have the potential to step up and be that reliable number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, we got to look at Galloway. We got to give him a shot. We need to see how him and Saquon going to battle it out. But, you know, it's going to be a wide receiver battle for the number two spot. So I think with the guys we got, we'll find that reliable number two. I just don't see why we would put ourselves in any kind of more cap purgatory than we already in. We have to make all kind of moves to make room for the footer of Julio Jones on this roster. It just would – he would upset the entire apple cart. And not just financially, but I think right. in the locker room as well.
Who do you think?
I don't see it.
Who do you think offered a first? Because remember, earlier this week, the talk was they would be lucky to get a third. Who showed up all of a sudden and said, I want a one?
Okay, who's wide receiver deficient right now? There's probably about 8-9 teams I think would be lining up to pick a Julio Jones. Baltimore being one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tennessee being another. It wouldn't shock me if the Dolphins were interested. Would not shock me at all. I think you got about 4 or 5 AFC teams that would love to have a Julio Jones.
Right.
I think John Gruden might be interested. He might say, well, you know what? I'm a number one wide receiver away. And I think Julio will be my number one guy. I think the Raiders might have the capital to actually make the deal happen.
Lee, I saw a lot of the NFL talking heads on ESPN the last 2 days on Get Up and on First Take mention that Julio and Aaron should get in on this together, which is interesting because both command a huge amount of money. But
yes.
The point that they're making is that Julio calls Aaron and says, look, you have a top receiver in me. You have a top quarterback in you. You can convince whatever team that you go to that that's somebody that can bring you in right now. Because, again, whatever team Aaron Rodgers goes to, if he goes somewhere, they're going to give up a lot. So I guess I can sort of see that. I just think money, again, is a big thing here. Both of these players bring big paychecks.
Absolutely. I don't think a draft pick is going to be much of a hurdle. I think the financials is going to be the problem. Because right now, I can see Atlanta coming off that one real quick and settling for a second or a third just to get him off the roster. Now, let's be clear right now. I don't think nobody's going to give him a number one pick for Julio Jones, and I don't think they're going to require it. I know they're putting that out there. You know how it is, Gus. You bid high or you bloviate high because you know you shoot for the moon, and if you land in the atmosphere, okay, you know. But you always shoot for the moon first. Shoot for the moon, and let's see if we can stay in the atmosphere. And then you go or maybe orbit around Earth. I'm just saying. I just think right now, a number one's for Julio, mm-hmm. and you got to pay him. And you got to pay him? No,
yeah.
I don't see it. Not for the Saints. The Saints are really set, man. I just think we had a couple of holes that we worried about in our defense. Believe it or not, I think our offense is set.
Okay, well, it's funny you say that. Our offense is set because I was going back and forth on the show today, and we just did it with Ross on which quarterback has more pressure or less pressure, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, Saints starter, Hill, Winston, whoever that is, how much pressure do you think there is on them? You think it's middle of the road, high amount of pressure, low amount of pressure?
Man, there ain't no pressure on Jameis. Okay. There's no pressure on Taysom. They both know the system. You know, they're going to both feed off each other, and they're going to both make each other better. And I think at the end of the day, all things being equal, Jameis is going to get the nod because you could do a whole lot more with Taysom Hill. I think it takes him to get comfortable with his role. The Saints are paying him. He get comfortable with his role, that how we use him, he makes us more dangerous. Only thing I need from him to do is to hold on to the football. If we can just get him to hold on to the football, man, I'm telling you, Jameis is the guy, man. It's his position to lose at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And all he has to do is play within the system. He don't have to. He may have to make some plays, but he has the physical capabilities to make those plays. When the coach trusts in the, okay, James, it's your drive. I need you to go out here and win the game. You need to get to that point in the offense where he's like, I got you, coach. boom, and ready to run the team right on down the field. Coach don't have to do nothing but sit there and call a play. Jameis like it pre-snap, go with it. If he don't like it pre-snap, call an audible. Go to something else. But the coach got to have confidence in him, and he has to have confidence in himself, and I think he's going to see that early on. I think we're going to see it early on. He's going to give him the confidence he needs to be the leader of this team. And coach not going to give him too much that he can't handle. You know, we talking about a first-round pick, man. You know, people forgetting that. I mean, they didn't know what they were doing with Jameis in Tampa. I'm telling y'all going to see the difference. Everybody going to see a difference in what a quarterback's coach can do for a person like Jameis Winston's talent. I'm telling you, all he has to do is know the right read, the right plays, and have enough confidence, a coach have enough confidence in him to run them plays. We know he has the physical, too.
Right.
He can make every throw.
Lee?
And also, yeah, you got it.
No, I hear you, man. Thank you for the phone call, top of the hour, man. But, yeah, no, look, I think you what you're saying, though, is you don't think there's going to be that much pressure and that he can sort of step up to that. So, but let's see what happens here. Appreciate it. Thank you for the phone call. Top of the hour, just like that, hour two is done. Hour three, we'll start with Tim Grubbs. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried you're unemployed,